Well, welcome everyone, both those of you here in the sanctuary and those of you joining us online as we are continuing in the fourth week of this message series, Heroic Faith. Heroic Faith. Now, how many times have we seen the role that faith plays in everyday life? You know, in sports, in business, as well as in our families, the persons who have confidence about what they are doing, the persons who have the benefit of strong convictions, the persons who have an assurance that what they are doing is right and good, they often are the ones who do well, or they are the ones who prevail. Amen? And of course, when we as believers place our faith in Jesus Christ, what happens then? We have a whole new source of spiritual power from on high to help us prevail or overcome in whatever it is that we're facing. Amen? Is there an amen in the house? Amen. Yeah, so a key theme that we are trying to touch on throughout this series has been this. If faith is so key, then why, God, we've said God wants us to have bold faith in the midst of difficult circumstances. If faith is so critical in everyday life, God wants to have us to have bold faith in the midst of difficult circumstances. So we've been looking at the lives of some heroes of our faith, and we've asked the question, how did they have bold faith in the midst of their difficult circumstances? And so in week one, remember Abraham, God told him to, hey, leave your homeland, go to a place that I will show you. And the scripture says Abraham trusted God without knowing actually where he was going. But over time, God made him, you know, the father of many nations. And then week two, remember Moses. He chose to identify with God's people rather than with Pharaoh and his household. And over time, God used Moses to set his people free. And then there was Joseph. Last week, after his brothers sold him into slavery, he did not become bitter against them or God. Instead, he held on to his faith. And then when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, he didn't mess around. What did he do? He fled the circumstances. And eventually, God used Joseph to save his father, his brothers from the famine, and all of Egypt as well. So today, we're going to look at another hero from the Old Testament. Her name is, as you've guessed, Esther. She was another person who exercised heroic faith in tough times, in difficult circumstances. So we only have read a portion of the passage today. There's a whole book. It's a short read, and we saw a synopsis of it just a bit ago as well. Go ahead and try to read that later today. As it goes, Esther was a young woman who lived among Jewish exiles. So you remember there was a time in Jewish history when they were exiled. First, the Babylonians carried them off. But eventually, while they were in exile, the Persians came and conquered the Babylonians. So they're in exile in Persia, which is modern-day Iran. And after her parents had died, she was raised by Mordecai, a family member who was closest next. And he served as a minor government official in Persia. Now, King Xerxes is the leader that's mentioned in the text. And so we know that this puts the story at approximately 500 years before the birth of Christ. So Xerxes is king in Persia, and as the story unfolds, Queen Vashti refuses to show her beauty at the king's party. And so it was declared, you are no longer queen. I guess that's the way that thing went down. And so it was decreed that a search should be made for a new queen, and among all the young women in Persia. And in a process that took several turns, in the end, Esther was chosen. Now Mordecai, he told her to keep her Jewish faith and ethnicity a secret, and so she did. And after she became queen, one day Mordecai Mordecai wouldn't bow to the king's officials. He's Jewish, you know, we're not supposed to do that if we're Jewish. And so there was an official, Haman, who was pretty all that about himself, could not stand it that Mordecai would not bow. And so Haman got so mad, he says, I'm going to build a gallows, the biggest gallows that I can imagine, and we're going to use that to get rid of this guy, Mordecai. And not only that, but while we're at it, we're going to get rid of every person of Jewish descent in the empire. So that was a pretty terrible idea. We see in Esther 3, 8, and 9, Haman goes to King Xerxes, and this is how he couches it. He says, there is a certain people dispersed and scattered among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom whose customs are different from those of all other people and who do not obey the king's laws. Now, that's probably not exactly true, but you know, when you're building a case, you stretch things a little bit. They don't obey the king's laws, and it is not in the king's best interest to tolerate them. If it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them. And I will put 10,000 talents of silver into the royal treasury for the men who carry out this business. Haman had this evil plot. He's going to annihilate the Jews, and he's going to write a big check so that those who have to carry out the task can do it. Well, when Mordecai hears about this, he is so distressed, he puts on sackcloth and ashes, and along with many of the other Jewish leaders, they get word to Esther about what happened. They encourage her to go before the king, and you need to plead for all of our lives. And she reminded him that, you know, anyone who goes into the king's court without being summoned by the king can be punished by death, and unless the king extends his scepter to them. Mordecai tells her, hey, if something isn't done, you're not going to be immune from what happens. You too can lose your life. So what is it? It's another opportunity for heroic faith. It is another opportunity for heroic choices in the midst of difficult circumstances. Now, although God's name is not mentioned in the book of Esther, his presence and his providence are clearly presented. So what can we learn from Esther's story this morning? How can, you know, parts of her story be applied to our journey as well? First of all, if you're following along in your outline, I would say this. Esther's story reminds us that God doesn't allow us to live in a bubble. Doesn't allow us to live in a bubble. Sometimes, you know, Christians, we have the mistaken idea that once a person gives his or her life to Christ, it is going to be champagne and caviar from here on out. You ever thought that? Ever that kind of your thought at one time? I, as a young believer, I kind of thought that. Maybe not champagne and caviar, but I just thought, you know, I'm just going to skate pretty well through life. Well, what I've discovered is that's not true. And when Esther found out that the wicked Haman was going to kill her entire race, she understood, I can't live in a bubble. I'm in the palace, but there are things happening that are impacting my world. And so she's upset. Esther 4:4 says, when Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great what? Distress. Distress. So how about us? How about you? Do you believe, has there been a time when you thought that God will never allow something distressing to come into my life? Well, it happens. Hello? At home, work, in the community. I don't know about you, but I find that pretty regularly there are things that come into my life that are things that are going to take away my peace and raise my stress. I mean, it just, if it's not one thing, it is another. And, you know, I've come to realize that God says, I'm not going to necessarily, you know, provide immunity for you from these things that sometimes happen, but I am going to provide help. Well, Remember Jesus' words to his disciples in John 16, 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have what? Peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I think Esther would have probably appreciated those words in her circumstances. You know, the words of the song Amazing Grace reminds us that, you know, we have been through many dangers, toils, and snares. Life is not easy. You know what? Sometimes it is just scary out there in the world. So the story is told of a lady. She was sick. She went to the doctor. He examined her, did a number of tests, and finally came and he said, I'm sorry, I've got bad news. Hate to tell you this, but I'm afraid you have contracted rabies. Rabies? Yes, rabies. The doctor left the room for a moment. He came back. The woman was, she had a piece of paper. She was busy writing something. And he said, I wonder just what are you writing there? Is it, you thinking about a will or something? She says, no, I'm not writing a will. I'm making a list of all those people who I'm going to bite. It's scary out there. I'm telling you. There are people, there are circumstances that can only add up to trouble. But from Esther's story, we learn another truth, and it is this. No matter what the circumstance we face, God is with us. God is with us. We are not alone. God is with us. Now, Esther, over the young experience of her life, had begun to realize that truth, and she was trying to live into it. I think that David did too when he wrote these familiar words from the 23rd Psalm, verses 4 and 5, when he said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of what? Death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. When you are afraid for your children or your grandchildren or your marriage or your job or your health or things going on in your life, remember this. God will never leave you nor forsake you. God, remember, was with Abraham when he was called when God called him by faith to go to an unknown land. And God was with Moses when he called him to go back to Egypt and to set his people free. And God was with Joseph when his brothers sold him into slavery and when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. And God was with Esther, helping her to face down her fears for her people and for her own life. And in tough times, remember this, God is also with you and me. God is with us. Listen to these words, powerful images from Isaiah 43:2. The prophet says, when you pass through the waters, I will what? Be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. At the heart of our faith is this simple truth, this simple understanding. God is with us. God is with us. Another lesson that we learn from Esther is that God often puts us in strategic places. Strategic places. Now, we may not like being there, hello, but there we are, and we can make a difference if we'll be open to it. In the midst of Haman's plan to have all of the Jews destroyed, Mordecai encourages Esther to speak out, and he says to her in Esther 4:14, and who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. God put Esther in a strategic place. When she became the Persian queen, she was in a position like no one else to save God's holy people from destruction. She had unique influence. God raised her up for such a time as this. I can think of other people whom God has placed in strategic places. He was an unlikely candidate for the presidency. His political career had certainly its share of ups and downs. And when he was elected, he found himself the leader of a country torn in two, polarized by the issues in that day of slavery and the possibility of civil war. But listen to what he said about those days and about that time. He said this, "I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all those around me seemed insufficient for the day." And then he said, "I have had so many evidences of God's direction, so many instances of times when I have been controlled by some other power than my own, that I cannot doubt that this power comes from God. I frequently see my way clear to a decision when I am conscious that I have not sufficient facts on which to found it. I am satisfied when the Almighty wants me to do or not to do a particular thing. He finds a way of letting me know. I talk to God, and when I do, my mind seems relieved, and the way to move forward is suggested." Now, at the time, no doubt everyone wondered if Abraham Lincoln's decisions were right. The nation was deeply divided over this issue. Now, looking back, we see Lincoln as a rock-solid guy, stood unwavering, the decisions that he made as right and true. Only when we read our history books a little bit more carefully do we see, yes, the faith and courage that he had, but also the doubts and the discouragements that Lincoln wrestled with. He looks like a great president now. He probably didn't look so great to everyone then. God often puts us in strategic places. And you know what? God often puts you and me in strategic places too. For such a time as this, perhaps has God put you in that place, or that office, or that neighborhood, or that job, or that relationship, or that circumstance for such a time as this. Maybe he has put you in that difficult place or this unlikely situation for such a time as this. But here's the good news. He is with you there, and he has something for you to accomplish there. God often puts us in strategic places. Esther's story also reminds us that God doesn't want us to face down fear alone. So Mordecai, he wanted Esther to go before the king and to plead for the beg for mercy for the Jewish people. And that was scary. The law said that if you did that but didn't without the king inviting you, you could be put to death. So what does Esther do? She realized she shouldn't try to face down her fears alone. She needed help. She needed support. How many times, you know, do we realize that? She needed a team behind her. So she called everyone to join her in a fast. And so we read in Esther 4:16, she said, "Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Now, it sounds like a lot of prayers went along with that fasting. Usually, that's what happens in the scriptures. It also seems clear that Esther realized, I can't face down my fear alone, and neither can we. Christianity, you see, is not a solo sport. Hello? It is a team effort. And being on the team means that we are part of God's family. So we are sheep in his flock. So turn to the person next to you and say, you know, you are a sheep in his flock. Let them know that. We are the branches in his vine. You know, you might turn to the person and say, well, you know, you don't look like a sheep, but you are a branch in his vine. Tell them that, maybe. You are, all of us, part of his body. We can't try to go it alone. Esther learned that. We need to learn that too. So the writer of Ecclesiastes 4 verses 9 and 10 says this: two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can what? Help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. There is nothing like a good friend to help you in the midst of a difficult time. So two men were out hunting in the northern United States, and suddenly one yelled and looked up at the other that a grizzly bear. Grizzly bear is over there, and he's charging this way. And the other friend frantically began to put on his tennis shoes, and his friend asked him anxiously, he said, what are you doing? Don't you realize that, you know, you can't outrun a grizzly bear? And he says, I don't have to outrun a grizzly bear. I just have to outrun you. Now, that is not the kind of friendship that I'm talking about. That's not it. I just have to outrun you, foo. I'm talking about a friendship that is self-sacrificing. It runs deep. It's a friendship that doesn't run away in the midst of a scare. And where do you find friends like that? How do you cultivate friends like those? Esther had friends like that. Even though she was staying in the palace, she stayed connected with people whom she knew really cared. And that's what you need to do too. You and I, we need to get connected and stay that way. We need to find spiritual allies, people who share the same vision and values that we do, who also really care. And where do you find folks like that? I believe one of the best places to find them is in the midst of a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith. And that's the vision that we're lifting up here at Christ Church, that we would be a loving and caring as well as an overcoming community of faith centered in Christ. And where do we get the example about that? We find it from the early church and throughout church history, but particularly in Acts 2:42, it says, let's read it together. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and prayer. You know, the other day, I was talking with someone who said to me, you know, when we first started coming here, we were kind of nominal in our faith. We really weren't interested in growing ourselves. We were here because of our kids, and we started getting involved, kind of involved in the things that involved them, but over time we realized, you know, there are other things that we could do, and we got involved doing things, and pretty soon we found meaning and purpose in the ways that we could serve, and we found new friends, and when we made new connections, people that we discovered were really wonderful folks, and we've been growing in our faith as well through the sermons, and then being in groups where we can talk about the messages, and gradually over time, you know, God has helped us to see how the people of this church have become some of our closest friends. Now, when I hear a story like that, I celebrate, and it's not an unusual story. I see it repeated in relationships around here a lot. So here's the thing. If that's not your story yet, find yourself some spiritual allies, some people who you know love Christ and are just as interested as following him as you are. And that means they're going to pray for you. They're going to care for you. And they are going to try to be there for you whenever you have a need. There are just some times when we need people of God around us. People who we know have our back, hello, who know that they're going to be there to help us to fight the good fight, to run the good race. Esther found she had those kind of people when she needed them. When you need them, you'll have them too. If you make the commitment to get connected. So remember this as I close. It's our faith in Jesus, one, and connection with spiritual allies, two, that enable us to overcome. That's how we fight the good fight. That's how we run the good race. That's how we win the battles. Strong faith in Jesus. And brothers and sisters who are all in with us on the journey. Amen? So let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, gracious God. Loving Lord, mighty Savior. We thank you for Esther's story. For she was a woman of great faith, a woman of influence, who found the courage to do the right things at the right time in the life of your people. Lord, she recognized her need for help. She didn't try to go it alone. And what did you do? You honored her faith and delivered her people. Lord, help us to learn from Esther. We too are people of influence in our homes, at work, among friends. We each have opportunities to impact people's lives. But we can't do it alone. We need help. We need you as well as each other. That's what the church is all about. It's through the church we come to know, love, and serve Christ and others. It's through the church that we help nominally religious people become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. It's through the church that we become part of a loving, caring, overcoming community that makes a difference in the world. Lord, help us to get connected with others in fellowship. Help us to find spiritual allies who will cheer us on our race. Lord, give us a vision for what you can do in us and through us by faith and by the power of your Holy Spirit. You are the one who enable us to overcome. It's in your name, Jesus' name, that we prayed. And everyone said, amen.